This is Mark Ulbrich stepping in on the Mike McFeely Show on a gorgeous, gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. 77 degrees at 4:36 here in Fargo-Moorhead. I'm excited to have Representative Ben Lien on the line. He just stepped off the floor. They're debating the Women's Economic Security Act right now. I understand the Senate's going to be debating the minimum wage bill today. Ben, are you there?
I am, yes, Mark. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you, Ben. And this is actually pretty cool. If anybody wants to know how I know they're debating the Women's Economic Security Act currently on the floor, is because I went on the legislative website and they have live video there for both the House and Senate. So if you have a bill that you're interested in, you can watch it live. But hey, there's Paul Thiessen. Look at that. So you are busy, 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 Ben. You said you were in session or you were at the Capitol late last night.
Yeah, we went first night this year. We went past midnight, got done about 2 in the morning, still had a couple bills to get through. So we put them on the table and we'll probably address them here later this evening, Ben.
So taking a look at the Women's Economic Security Act, the bill that you're debating right now, what would this do for women in Minnesota?
It's provisions in the bill. I personally think it's a pretty good package. There are grant programs for women entrepreneurs to start their own businesses. We expand justifications for quitting employment to sexual assault and stalking. Currently, domestic abuse is one reason where folks can, you know, quit their jobs and still be able to collect unemployment. And so we're adding sexual assault and stalking into that. We also remove a cap on early learning scholarships and are setting up a study to take a look at what the average cost of early childhood would be, and then allowing the amount of the scholarships to go up to that cost. Another provision I think is pretty good is looking at, again, setting up another study to look at a retirement plan for folks across the state where they could go into and the state would monitor, or I should say manage, those retirement accounts. So it'd be more like a savings account and, you know, just providing more options for folks to be able to set up savings.
So, this Women's Economic Security Act, the minimum wage bill that you're taking a look at, you know, as we move into this period of prosperity here in Minnesota, it sounds like the Minnesota legislature really has the best interests of women and families and children in mind as they move forward. Any concerns at all with the Women's Economic Security Act, anything that might affect us here in Moorhead in a less positive way than it would affect greater Minnesota? Or do you think that altogether, you know, what benefits women in Minnesota benefits the entire state of Minnesota?
Yeah, I think on the latter on that. You know, I think this is a pretty good package that will benefit women, benefit families all across the state. There were a couple issues as the different bills, different provisions of the package were going through the committee process. Where I had some concerns about some border city issues and some of those provisions actually got taken out as it made its way through the committee process. So, you know, I think the legislative work that's gone into this package is really pretty good and will really put together a good bill for all families and all women in Minnesota.
That's great. And we had Mayor Williams in here last hour, and she talked about something that may not be on people's radars, but they really should be paying attention to. Is the Supplemental Budget Act that now you can walk me through it, Ben. It's been through the House, is going to the Senate, but one of the things that we have in there is more border city money to help Moorhead take advantage of the opportunities that we find here in the Red River Valley.
Yeah, actually, those pieces are actually going to be in the two different tax bills. We, in the House, passed a tax bill last week that adds to the work we did last year in terms of property tax relief, expanding it to agricultural property taxes. But then also, there are a couple provisions to make the Border City program much stronger for the next 5 years or so. Another provision in there to help with the commercial industrial property taxes in those same border cities. And that's in the House tax bill. And then on the Senate side, Senator Eakin and I, we worked pretty close together on all of these bills, but then he was able to get a study bill through on the Senate side. So basically, this bill is going to fund a study to take a look at oil production and the really, you know, rampant increase in oil production over the last 5 years or so. You know, we're all in the region expecting it to go on for the next couple of generations, 30 to 50 years or so, if not longer, by the time the technology catches up with production even at that point. So I think this is a pretty significant issue for us in the region to face, and this study would then take a look at oil production in North Dakota and say, okay, you know, what are the positives from this that Minnesota may be able to take advantage of? And then also, what are some things that we're already doing that we could be doing even better? Or, you know, maybe taking a look at some of the challenges that this is going to pose for us. What are some things that we can do now to be proactive and to get ahead of this?
And we've talked about it before, and I know that when Representative Thiessen, Speaker Thiessen's been up here, the Lieutenant Governor was up here last week, and Chuck Hendrickson really did a nice job of talking to the Chief of Staff, the candidate for Lieutenant Governor, about the opportunities that do exist here, but also some of taking a look, and I know that Senator Eakin's study wants to take a look at issues like heroin and human trafficking and jails and homelessness, some of the effects that are coming across the border moving forward. Now, and I don't know if you saw the paper today, Ben, but the minimum wage, the forum ran an article on the minimum wage, and I know that you were at the same legislative meeting that I was at with Ryan Winkler. I know that you were up there, and we had brought forward some of the border city considerations. Do you think that any of those border city considerations on the minimum wage bill will be considered, or do you think that it's just too tough of a road to hoe right now?
Well, I think it is pretty difficult to, put provisions for specifically for the border cities, or for that matter, any part of the state, into the minimum wage bill. Something that I've really been focusing on, and again, Senator Eakin, we've been working pretty close with this, is to make that border city program stronger, and to keep it more flexible to address some of the new challenges that might be coming up. Doing their 2015 session in terms of the changing landscape for Minnesota. So, you know, minimum wage is certainly something that could be addressed if we are to make this get through this session with the stronger border city package. That's certainly something that we'll be able to take a look at.
And I was just talking to Pinto before. A lot of people thought, with one-party rule in Minnesota that the DFL would just be driving things through. But we're seeing a real good interplay between the governor's office, the Senate, and the House. Is it feeling positive? Are you feeling torn? Are you feeling pushed? Or do you think that this balance between the Senate and the House and the governor's office is working to moderate some of the bills and to really put more emphasis on greater Minnesota moving forward?
There has been a lot of focus on greater Minnesota here this session, last year and this year. Talking with Representative Marquardt and a lot of the work he did for K-12 or, E-12 now with early childhood, but elementary and secondary school funding, really doing a lot of very positive things for greater Minnesota with education. And also a part of the supplemental budget that was passed last year deals a lot with jobs and economic development, setting up more funding for broadband development in greater Minnesota. I carried a provision in that same jobs and economic development section of the supplemental budget bill that funds the 10 different small business development centers around the state. So each center would get a $50,000 injection of capital. And I know the center in Concordia, I've been in touch with those folks, and they've been very appreciative, been talking with a lot of the different centers around the state, very appreciative of this and what they'll be able to do with those funds. And then also putting more capital into the initiative foundations, different initiative foundations across the state. So the focus really has been pretty strong on greater Minnesota this session.
And that's one of the concerns I brought up with Pinto is that, as the metro starts to prosper coming out of the recession, that they're going to get insular once again. Everything will be about the 13-county metropolitan area, and it's good to hear that greater Minnesota is part of that conversation. Ben, can you take a quick question from Steve in Fargo?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Steve, are you on?
Yeah, how's it going today?
Good. You got a question for Representative Lean?
Yeah, I do. And just kind of being somewhat cynical about that minimum wage, and it is what it is, but I had no idea what the law was until I read the paper this morning. But there are provisions in there where younger people wouldn't be required to pay the wage until a certain time, and then certain businesses that have revenue over X have to pay a higher wage than the businesses with revenue below Y. And first of all, the complicated nature of it, it seems challenging at best, but isn't that in itself discriminatory? You know, if someone has a business that happens to be a relatively high revenue business but very low margin, and all of a sudden you're forcing them to pay this disproportionate higher wage just based on revenue, and then by the same token, with the younger people, you're saying, okay, so we understand that a higher wage will depress the opportunity for younger people, so therefore we're going to exempt them from the minimum wage law and not protect them. So you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, are you not?
Great question, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, the focus here is closing the gap in wage equity, and somewhere around 375,000 Minnesotans will benefit from the higher minimum wage bill. So I think that was really the focus of this. Now, in working with the business groups in the state, the Chamber of Commerce, of course, negotiations between the House and the Senate. You know, this is the bill that was brought forward, and the House position was, you know, that 950 level, which is what the bill is now. And then the Senate had more of the concerns to address some of the smaller businesses, some of the training wages, some of those types of things. So, you know, I think this is a pretty good package, a pretty good bill. You know, we've been working on this bill all of last year and this year in the session. So I do think this is a pretty good bill. I think it'll help folks to be able to get ahead, you know, to be able to work and actually start saving some money, not just having to use all of their disposable or all of their income to purchase those daily goods, groceries, rent, school supplies, those things, but really give folks a chance to start some savings. So, you know, I personally think this is a pretty good package, and I do have my border city concerns about it. But, you know, I hope we can possibly address some of those through stronger border city legislation.
And do you feel, I mean, the work that the city council has done, the county has done, you and Representative Marquardt and Senator Eakin, really impressing upon the metro legislators that we need not special consideration, but we need competitive consideration as we border up to North Dakota, that they understand that now, that this is something that we need moving forward.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think the, I think the biggest issue here really that we're not dealing with competition with Wisconsin or Iowa. We're dealing with competition with North Dakota, which, you know, because of their oil development and oil production is really the strongest growing economy in the state. I think GDP increase in 2012 was 13.4%. So, you know, that's doing here. And we've been having those conversations, myself and Senator Eakin, Representative Marquardt, and really impressing that upon folks down here.
Great. And Representative Lean, you're breaking up a little bit, but I wanted to get you back on the floor. Jerry, I'll pick you up after the break. Thank you so much, Ben, for coming on, and enjoy the nice weather.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mark. You too.
Hey,
appreciate
thanks,
it.
Ben. Yep. This is Mark Ulberg on the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO.